What you have to understand is when you buck God's definition of freedom in light of your own definition of freedom, there will be consequences that you pay personally, in your family, and in your society. Hello, this is Dr. Tony Evans, and I want to wish all of our viewers a very happy 4th of July, celebrating our independence and celebrating the birth of a nation. Our nation, however, is struggling. We're struggling to fully realize what freedom really means and how it's supposed to work in every area of life. Well, to help us do that, I want to bring God's view of freedom to us today. We really want to let freedom ring, but we want God to ring the bell. We want him to define, delegate, and explain freedom as he intended it to be and how it ought to operate in a society. That's our message for today. So join me, and let's really discover what it means when we do let freedom ring. I want to talk to you today about freedom, but not from America's definition, from God's definition. Because the first person to use the word freedom is God. And he used the word freedom in the creation narrative, as we read in Genesis chapter 2. So perhaps if we can get his understanding and his definition of freedom, we can learn what it should mean for us and what it should mean for our culture and our country. God told the first man who ever lived, Adam, what freedom was. He said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. Here we have the first reference to freedom in creation by God to man. Now you have to understand, in the garden, when God first created man, God was himself the government. He set the governing rules for how mankind was to function. He tells man in this first declaration of freedom, every tree of the garden you may freely eat. There is one tree you may not eat from. If you do eat from it, you will surely die. Right there, we find three specific clarifications of freedom. First of all, whatever freedom is, it's very broad because whatever tree you want to eat from, you're free to eat from it. So freedom is a very broad concept. So the first thing we know is freedom is maximum. That is, you are free to enjoy whatever God legitimately provides. At the heart of freedom is the ability to enjoy and experience and participate in whatever God had provided. God had provided all these multiple kind of trees, and he says, you can pick your tree. On the words of a few brothers, this your thing, you can do what you want to do. If it was legitimately provided by God, you can partake of it, and you can partake of it by your decision, by your choice. So whatever freedom is, it's very broad. However, he goes on and he says, there's one tree you may not eat from, and that is the tree in the midst of the garden, that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So freedom does not mean no restriction. He gives them a restriction while telling them they are free. In other words, freedom has boundaries. Please notice that while there was maximum freedom, there was minimal regulation. There was only one tree they couldn't eat. They could eat all the other trees. So freedom of what they could do was a lot bigger than what they couldn't do. Now, I know there are a lot of definitions of freedom out here, and what they mean by that is we want to be free not to have boundaries.
We want to be free to kill the baby in the womb. We want to be free to marry whoever we want to marry, even if they're the same sex. We want to be free. And they call that freedom. And what they mean is we do not want boundaries. Freedom without legitimate boundaries is chaos. Why? Because of the third thing you see in this passage. Because he says, if you eat the tree, cross the boundary, that I told you not to cross, on the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. In other words, there would be consequences to breaking the boundary in the misuse of legitimate freedom. When you take advantage of freedom to the degree that you erase the boundary that the divine designer has put in place, what you wind up is not with freedom of life, but the experience of death. Because while you get to choose what you will do, what you don't get to choose is the consequences of your choice. Those are imposed from another. On the day you eat from it, you will surely die. So the penalty was maximum and immediate. On the day they ate, they were removed from the garden. We're living in a culture today that wants to disregard God's boundaries, still insist on freedom, and not expect consequences. What you have to understand is when you buck God's definition of freedom in light of your own definition of freedom, there will be consequences that you pay personally, in your family, and in your society. We're living in a day because God's definition of freedom is being bucked, because God's boundaries are being refused, that we're undergoing now the cultural chaos of consequences. It is critical that you connect government to God if you want to experience the freedom God intended when he gave us life and society. The moment you buck that, chaos takes its place. You can't have government without God without it equaling chaos. Okay? And so that is why Christians must be involved appropriately politically. He says, the day you eat from it, you shall surely die. Why? Because freedom demands boundaries. Now, what was the boundary he gave them? He gave them a boundary that simply said, from the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you don't eat that one. Now, God, why you got to put the tree in the middle of the garden? Because you see, the tree was to be a perpetual reminder that they don't call the shots here. It was to be a perpetual reminder that they were under the authority of somebody else, that the government of the garden was God. And since the government of the garden was God, you are not to determine good and evil, bad and good, better and worse, yes and no, up and down, independently of God. You are not to get knowledge on your own. Don't mess with this tree where you would determine knowledge independently of me. Let me put it another way. That tree was a reminder to get your information by revelation, not by reason. See, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was reasoning your way to what's right and wrong, as opposed to God revealing to you what was right or wrong. So God put a tree in the middle of the garden to remind them that knowledge was never to come independently of him. God said, don't eat that tree. Don't make your decisions by reason where you skip revelation. Okay? So he was supposed to define what meaning was, how life was to be lived. And he was the government in the garden. After sin came in, he turned the government over to mankind. But the principle is the same. Maximum freedom, which means personal responsibility, limited regulation, only one tree you couldn't eat, but dire consequences when you ignored the revelation of God. Now, please notice something else in this description of freedom. Freedom, watch this, demanded responsibility. Look at verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. Freedom demanded responsibility. You have to get up in the morning. You have to go to work. You have to cultivate, that is, develop what I have given you the raw materials for. You are to manage it. You are to protect it. And he puts that under the definition of freedom. All these things I've given you freely. So freedom didn't mean that you did nothing. Freedom means you exercise responsibility over what God had given you to maximize its potential. To turn God's raw material into something greater that's usable for you and that benefits others. Freedom demands responsibility. All of us have had or have teenagers who want the freedom to eat without the responsibility to clean up what they've eaten or to help prepare what they want to eat. In other words, they want the freedom of it without the responsibility tied to it. So what we are raising today is an irresponsible generation who wants it free. Anytime there are more people on the government doles getting food stamps than there are people getting jobs, mean that something is awry and amiss in the culture where freedom has been mistaken and responsibility is not being lived up to. And here's always something you'll understand. When people can get stuff for free for which they're not responsible, they'll want more free. Because you can get used to free. You can get used to free, which is why the Bible says if a man does not work, he ought not eat. You don't give him food stamps. You don't give him donations. You don't give him benefits. You don't do it. Not if a man can't work. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about if a man refuses to work, you do not subsidize laziness. You do not subsidize irresponsibility. You do not subsidize that because freedom demands responsibility. Responsibility means, responsibility is the obligation to fully utilize one's assigned task with through the use of one's God-given resources and abilities to maximize your potential. And I believe in that. You are to maximize what God has given you. That's what Jesus told the servants in Matthew 25. He says, you wicked, lazy servant. You didn't maximize what the master handed to you. We won't spend time here, but Satan comes on the scene in chapter 3 and gets them to eat from the tree in the midst of the garden. He does like the Soul Train scramble board. He mixes up the word. He mixes up the word so that the word is scrambled and out of order, and now they become slaves of the devil. See, you can use your freedom to become a slave. They become slaves of the devil because the Bible says Adam handed over the world to the devil who became the god of this age. He didn't know that eating a piece of fruit was to become a slave. See, you can use your freedom to actually become a slave. You're so free, you can free yourself into slavery. Because God didn't stop him from eating the fruit. He just told him, this is what's going to happen if you do. But I'm not going to make you do it. Because you must follow me by choice. Not simply because I'm going to force you to. And so whenever you see freedoms being constricted in a culture, liberties being lost, people being irresponsible, what you're watching is judgment taking place. John 8, verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you will truly be disciples of mine. Disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. You notice how many times the word free shows up in that chapter? Let's talk about it. Jesus is talking to the Jews. And Jesus is talking to them about freedom. And the Jews say to Jesus in that passage, we have never been a slave. That tells you how bad slavery is. You're so used to slavery, you don't even know you are one. They say, we've never been a slave. Well, right then, when Jesus is talking to them, they slaves in Rome. Roman government is bossing Israel around and telling them what to do. They've been slaves in Babylon. They've been slaves in Assyria. They've been slaves in Egypt. They've been slaves plenty. But you can get so used to being a slave. You don't even know you're in slavery anymore. So Jesus tells them, look, he tells them, he says, you want to find the road to freedom? You want freedom? He says, let me tell you how you get free. You get free, watch this now, stick with, don't miss this. You get free with the truth. Watch this. He says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Now, what we like to do is quote half the verse. We quote the second half. The truth will set you free. You know, girl, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Okay, let's do the whole verse. It's the truth you know that sets you free. Okay? It's not the word truth that sets you free. It's your knowledge of the truth. Which means if you don't know the truth, you can't be free. See, I can lie you into slavery. That's what the devil did. He got Adam and Eve, told them a lie, they believed the lie, and became a slave because he made the lie sound like the truth. And all of us know good liars. Well, the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. You don't get any better than him. He's an angel of light, so he makes the lie seem so truthful that you can't turn it down. That's why you must know the truth. But now that raises a question, doesn't it? What is truth? See, if you don't know what truth is, you don't know when you're hearing it, seeing it, or being told it. Because you're just looking at how good it sounds. Didn't it sound good? And didn't he say it well? Or didn't she say it well? Oh, I felt that when she said it. And you think that's the truth because it gave you that feeling. So let me define truth. Because he says only the truth you know will set you free. Truth is an absolute standard by which reality is measured. Truth is reality in its original norm. Or to put it in everyday language, truth is God's view on any subject. Okay? Truth is God's view on any subject. Why? Why is it only God's view on any subject? Because all information originates from him. He says, you will continue in my word. Then he throws something else out here. I love this. He says, verse 36, so if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. He says, him who the Son makes free. So watch this now. Christians who have the Son should be the freest people alive. See, he says the truth will set you free. That's just a principle. You apply by my word. If my word rules, freedom exists. But if you have the Son, you're super free. Okay? You're super free because he who the Son makes free. You should enjoy freedom like nobody else. Why? Because you are operating under divine rule like nobody else. I know many people were raised in churches. You can't wear your hair this way. You can't wear makeup. You can't wear pants. You can't wear, you know, you were raised in what we call legalism, the misuse of the law or the addition to the law. And you were raised being restricted. So you couldn't wait to go to college so you could get away from mama, daddy, and church. He says, when you really understand what the Son has done, Jesus has posted your bail and you are free indeed, he says. You are free to maximize your potential under God. He says, if you continue in my word, you're free. But if you cultivate this relationship, you're free indeed. He says, my word will make you free. The Son will make you free indeed. So you can study the Bible and be free. But when you get the Son, you're indeed free. So you don't just study the Bible to learn the Bible. You study the Bible to get to know the Savior. And the Son sets you free indeed based on the word that you continue in. That you roll this way. That you operate this way. And boy, freedom. You know, the Supreme Court is studying the Constitution. This little short document is controlling everything. Controlling everything. God wants his word to control all the decision making, to make the final decisions, so that he's controlling everything, so that you can be free indeed. Finally, my last scripture. Galatians 5:13. What do you do with this freedom you have? For you were called to freedom, verse 13 says of Galatians 5. God expects you to be free. Paul is dealing with these Judaizers who are putting people under the Mosaic law, and he tells them, you are called to be free. That is to fully experience all that God has for you under divine rule, under divine priority. You, freedom is supposed to be your middle name. That you can enjoy what it means to operate under the rule of God, because there's maximum freedom, limited regulations. He says, you are called to freedom, brethren. He's talking to Christians now. Only, he says, just a minute, because remember, there's a restriction. Do not turn freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You can always tell a free person because they're a serving person. Paul says God has called you to freedom, but you don't use freedom to hold other folk in slavery. You use freedom to set other folk free. You use freedom to serve other people, not to hold them hostage. A government is supposed to give the boundaries for freedom and then give the citizens the right to choose where they're going to live and how they're going to live within the boundaries of legitimate freedom. But what you will find out, the further the government moves from God, the more it wants to control your decisions. Because that's what cultism does. It controls your every decision because it must control you, and you become a slave. And so there was a civil war over freedom. There's a civil rights movement over freedom. Because you were called to freedom, he says. Only when you're called to freedom, show me all the other folks who are being set free because you're free. Or are you just using the word, holding other people hostage? Freedom, it's a beautiful thing. It was a celebration of Juneteenth. And Juneteenth is that holiday when June 19th, 1865, the slaves in Texas discovered they were free. You see, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed January 1863. But nobody told the slaves in Texas till June 19, 1865. So there was a year and a half of slavery because the folks didn't know the truth. They didn't know the truth that they had been set free January 1863. So they were living on a lie because nobody told them the truth. But on January 19th, 1865, the truth came to Texas that the slaves had been set free a year and a half before. Folk been partying ever since. Barbecuing ever since. Dancing ever since. Taking off of work even though they haven't given you a day off ever since. Celebrating freedom. Because somebody told you the truth. See, if the enemy can keep you from knowing the truth, he can keep you acting like a slave, thinking like a slave, talking like a slave, walking like a slave, because you haven't been told about freedom. But let me tell you the tragedy of Juneteenth. The tragedy of Juneteenth. When the word came on June 19th, 1865, that the slaves in Texas were free, party broke out. on the farms and the plantations. People were excited. And a bunch of folk went to start packing their stuff to make their way north because now they were free. But a large percentage of the slaves wouldn't budge because they had been slaves too long. All they knew was slavery. Slavery fed them. Slavery clothed them. Slavery gave them a nice bed at night. Slavery was a comfortable place. Even though it was slave, it's what I'm used to. When you get used to slavery, even government slavery, when you get used to slavery, you don't want to be set free. See, what the slave thought was this: freedom is too risky. See, to go north is risky. I don't know what them poachers are going to do. I don't know what those folks are going to do. So I'd rather have the security of slavery than the liberational risk of freedom. There are folks here this morning who've been so used to being controlled by the devil, you don't even know what it feels like for him not to own you anymore. For him not to own your economics so that you don't live the rest of your life in debt. For him not to own your emotions so that you don't live the rest of your life in depression. So he doesn't own your relationships so you don't have to be hooked up with some jackleg person who's messing up your life day in and day out. So that he doesn't have to own your future so that you don't think you can ever become something and become somebody under the rule of God, because you're too scared to be set free. Who's going to take care of me if I leave him or her? Who's going to take care of me if I take responsibility? I'll tell you, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Somebody ought to praise the Lord because you've been called to freedom.
Well, now that you have an overview of what a nation ought to look like when it's free God's way, we want to help you to see it even more clearly. That's why we have a brand new book we're offering you. It's called One Nation Under God. It will explain God's perspective on how nations ought to operate when they take Him seriously. And we're living in a day when our nation needs to take God seriously. You can go to our website, tonyevans.org, and you can see One Nation Under God, and you can get it for yourself and for others. Or you can call 1-800-800-3222, and you can order it by phone. And don't forget, when you contact us, that this ministry only survives by the support and generosity and prayers of our viewers. So if this ministry is ministering to you, is helping you, encouraging you, strengthening you, then would you minister back to us so that we can keep this reciprocity going and continue ministering to you in an effective way. Thank you for your generosity, for your support. God bless you until next time.